Well, as George Yontz used to say, if you've got one in you, you better get it out. If you don't, it'll choke you. Well, glory! Hallelujah. Ooh, if you're visiting with us today, don't be shocked. I'm that way every Sunday. You know, God is so good. Amen? All the time. Amen? Yes, He is. He is so good to us all the time. He has blessed us with so many blessings. He has poured out His Spirit into our life and into our heart. Now, you all remember, I didn't preach last Sunday. You all remember that, don't you? So just throw your watches away. No, I'm just kidding. Take your Bibles and turn this morning to Psalms 81. Thank you if you're a guest with us today. We are so grateful for your presence. What a worship experience. Thank you, Leon and Praise Team, for leading us in worship. Psalms 81, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture this morning. This is part two of I don't know how many parts the Lord's going to make out of this. He keeps adding more to it. So this is part two of the fruit of your lips. What you say is so very important because what you say is a reflection of what you believe. What you hold dear and precious to your heart and your life. Remember, Jesus said it's in our heart. Jeremiah reminded us that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our heart, that not that blood pump, but that innermost individual that lives within us, that very Spirit of God that He breathed into our nostrils, the breath of life, and we became a living soul. The writer of Psalms 81, it's really a call to worship. But I want to pick up at verse 10. Would you stand with me in honor of reading of the Word of God? Psalms 81, verse 10. And I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Now where are they going? Where are they headed? They're headed to the Promised Land. And it has been proven that they could have been in the Promised Land in 11 days. How long did it take them to get to the Promised Land? Why? Because they wouldn't believe the Word of God. That's a simple answer, but that's the correct answer. Because they would not take God at His Word. Now, if you want to stay in the wilderness, it's your choice. And I don't mean to say that arrogantly or ugly or disrespectful. I'm just saying to you, if you want to choose to stay in the wilderness, you remember Caleb and Joshua, what did they say? We can do what? We can take the land. The other said, oh, the land's filled with what? And we are but what in their sight? Grasshopper mentality. You see, when you fail to take God at His Word, you develop a grasshopper mentality. Hello? Are you listening? Do you hear me? That's why Pastor Johnny constantly tells you and tells you and tells you and tells you and tells you, stand on the Word of God. God's promise to you, what He said to you, open your mouth wide, verse 10, and I will do what? Fill it. Fill it. I don't want to start preaching before I start preaching, but boy, this is good stuff. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's desire, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 for just a minute. Matthew chapter 13, first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll begin reading at verse 18. As you find it. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed in stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and immediately with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, immediately he is offended. Know anybody like that? He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this age, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh what? Remember 2 weeks ago I said for that word to be included, he must have been what previously? Fruitful. Yeah, if you can't be unfruitful if you've never been fruitful. Hello? In other words, the context in which it is written in means that this person at one time was fruitful in their life in regard to the word, which is the seed, or the seed which is the word. Verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed in good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Father God, this morning, remove this preacher from the eyes of these people. Magnify, glorify, and exalt, and lift up the one who was lifted up on that cross, Father. They may see and understand and hear him speak to their hearts today, anew and afresh from your word, Father, that it might become incarnational in their lives so much so that it becomes transformational in the way that they live their lives in the victorious manner that you came, that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. And that we might know that greater is he that lives in us and he that lives in the world. And that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. And that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because our God will supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. Father, I pray this morning that you would minister to every physical need in body. I pray, God, that you would minister to every spiritual need in soul and in spirit today. God, I pray that you would touch lives. I pray, God, that you would change lives for your glory and for eternity's sake. By the power of your word today, God, would you accomplish that that would bring the greatest praise and the greatest honor and the greatest glory to you. Wrap your loving arms around every person present. May they sense your presence. Be their Jehovah Rapha, their healer, their Jehovah Jireh, their provider. Be Heavenly Father, their Jehovah with Shalom, their peace, be their Jehovah Nissi, and walk before them, Father, as they journey through life in the journey that you have given them. Thank you, Father, that you promised never to leave us nor forsake us, that you would be with us always, even unto the end of the age. Thank you that we're in your hands and no one can pluck us out. Thank you, Father, that our salvation is secure not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is and what he did for us on Calvary's cross. Thank you for that blood that was shed for us. Father, help us today to believe those precious promises in regard to salvation. But Father, help us to believe those precious promises that we might experience kingdom living, kingdom life, kingdom joy, and kingdom peace. Cleanse us and forgive us of all sin, through the cross and the blood of your only begotten Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, wait a minute, I didn't tell you to be seated. Turn around and touch somebody and tell them, you're blessed today. Touch somebody and tell them, you're blessed today. Look, see? Have I said be seated? Did I say be seated? Some still standing in the bucket. Be seated. Have you ever watched yourself? Roma's all the time talking to me about you don't listen. You have selective hearing. And, you know, men are so task-oriented until we probably do have selective hearing. Just learn to love us and put up with us, and we'll figure it out somewhere along the way. Just be patient with us, okay? The fruit of your lips. Let's take just a few minutes and review, okay? Just a few minutes and review, okay? When God created the heavens and the earth, how was it done? He said, let it be, and it was, didn't he? Let it be, and it was. Let it be, and it was. Let it be, and it was. All the way down through the course of history, keep in mind, the Old Testament did not exist for a long time until Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, which are called the Pentateuch, or the Law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So God spoke directly to His people. He spoke in a number of ways. He spoke by that still small voice. He spoke by dreams and by visions. Today we have His complete, inerrant, infallible Word, which is truth without any mixture of error. In fact, John 1:1 says, say it with me, in the beginning was the, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John 1:14 says, and we beheld glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No person comes unto the Father but by me. I want to try to illustrate this for you this morning so that you can grasp what Pastor Johnny is trying to teach you and trying to show you with all the love that's in my heart. I told you all Sunday 2 weeks ago, I'm Baptist through and through. I want you to know that. But I believe the book. I believe the Word. I may not understand it. I may not have had clarity on it. I may not have received the full revelation of the Word. But if God has said something in His Word, then I'm going to take Him at His Word. I'm going to listen to what my Father is saying to me, because He has made the relationship possible through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I can cry out, Abba, Father, which means Daddy, Daddy. Now, there's not a one of us that will not listen. Boy, I'd love to have my earthly father to talk to. How many of you would love to have your earthly father who's gone on to glory just to talk to? Yes, every one of us. Moms too, amen? We would love to hear that voice again. We would love to be able to, and boy, wouldn't we want to listen to them now. I mean, since we've had time to think it over and they've been gone, boy, we really want to listen, wouldn't we? Because we realize all of a sudden how valuable the things that they sought to teach us and to infill our lives with was important to our living. So we have a choice this morning. If Jesus Christ is the eternal Word of God, and He is, if He is the sovereign Word of God, if He is truth without any mixture of error, if He's the way and the truth and the life, then salvation is just the beginning for me. Salvation is coming into God's family by spiritual birth. I confess my sins. I repent of those sins. I turn to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He gladly receives me and reminds me that I'm in His hand and no man can pluck me out of His hand. Then He said, my Father who gave you to me is greater than all, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. Now, if we can believe that for our salvation, church, and we do. If we don't believe that, then we cannot claim to be God's child by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot claim that our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. We cannot claim that they have been buried in His sea of forgetfulness, never to remember against us again. We cannot claim that we are God's child. But if we claim that we are God's child, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that, referring back to that grace and that faith, because every man is given a measure of faith. And I'll preach on that the last Sunday in this month, okay? We're going to talk about that. So salvation, I believe for salvation, what happens there? Well, I do one of two things. I failed to take God at the rest of His Word for kingdom living. Or I take God at His Word for kingdom living, and I begin to live as His child, as He desires me to live, filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit, dwelt and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. not committed to the Holy Spirit, because you see, if I say I have committed my life to Christ, then I can hold back part of it if I want to. But when I say that I have surrendered my life to Christ, then I'm no longer in control. And what His Word says to me, I'm going to take Him at His Word, regardless of whether He has given me that full revelation of His Word or not. I'm going to take God at what He said, and I'm going to rest on it. I'm saying, okay, God, You said this. Just as You said back here to me in regard to salvation, You said this, God, and I shall not, just like a Baptist, I shall not be moved. I'm going to stand there. And so we look at that, quickly review for just a minute, Bridget, pull up that first slide on that wayside soil. That wayside soil is the soil that has been trodden down. And folks, listen to me. You can sit in church Sunday after Sunday and be a wayside believer. The burdens and the cares and the pressure of this world can press you down until your heart becomes hardened to the Word of God. I didn't say that you aren't saved. I didn't say that you're not a child of God. I said that your heart becomes hardened to the Word of God. Your heart becomes callous to the Word of God. And you live a humdrum Christian life. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a humdrum Christian life. I don't know about you. I want to live a life led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and controlled by the Spirit. And so there are the wayside Christians. 25% of the people that sit in the average congregation in America today or around this world are wayside Christians. They come to church on Sunday morning. Their heart is so pressed down with all the cares and the concerns and the burdens of life in general. They're dealing with family issues. They're dealing with job issues. They're dealing with issues everywhere they go. And they bring those things with them on Sunday morning. Pastor is preaching his heart out. And for a minute or two they hear. They observe. And they say, yeah, that sounds good. I believe that, but. Lord, You just don't know where I am right now. You just don't know what I'm facing right now. You don't know what I'm dealing with right now. You don't know what I'm having to go through right now. My friend, listen to me. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He created the heavens and the universe and all therein and all that we are still discovering through the Hubble telescope. My friend, listen to me. He is an omniscient God. That means He is an all-knowing God. He is an omnipresent God. That means He's everywhere at all times and in all places. He is an omnipotent God. That means He's an all-powerful God. He is an immutable God. That means He changes not. Therefore, His Word that saved you back here, His Word birthed you into His family back here, and you began that journey, but all of a sudden the cares, the concerns, the pressure of the world, your heart, your life became hardened, just like this floor that I'm standing on here, and the seed is sown and it just skips across the floor. And the fowls immediately come, and the fowls is a picture of Satan and all of his cohorts, all of his minions. Because Abraham offered the sacrifice in Genesis chapter 15, he had to literally walk between the halves of the sacrifice to drive the vultures away so that they would not consume the sacrifice that was made to God. And so here comes the birds, and the birds immediately steal that seed. 25% of Christendom is like that today. But let's quickly move on. The next slide. The seed that was sown in the stony ground, the rocks, there was no root, there was no moisture, there was no place for the root to grow, and for a minute or two it sprung up just because of the little bit of dampness there, but it had no root, it had no depth. And because it had no root and because it had no depth, when those pressures of life continued, it just withered and fell. 25% of Christendom is like that today. Hey, folks, we're down to 50%. But let's move on to the next slide. Here's that seed that was sown in the thorny ground, and
And it immediately it took root and it began to grow. And for a little while, there was joy present. There was peace. There was happiness. There was fulfillment of life. And there was peace and that joy that just comes that Jesus said, I came that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I came that I might supply every need that you have. But all of a sudden, it was kind of like Peter when he took his eyes off of Jesus. What did he do, church? He began to sink. We take our eyes off of the Word and we begin to sink. And the amazing thing about it is this particular seed grew long enough to produce fruit. We've all seen like that. That's 75% of Christendom that sits in the church Sunday after Sunday. Now, I told you all 2 weeks ago, I'm not judging you. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not being critical. My goodness, Roman, I love you all to pieces. 2 weeks ago when I preached the first message of this series, I was nervous and I'm still nervous. I'm nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs and wondering who's going to rock next and what senior saint's going to get my tail. I'm nervous every time I come in this pulpit because I know what I tell you that one day I'm going to stand before God Almighty and I'm going to give an account of. But I have to give you the truth. And the truth is you can stay in all three of those places and be saved. And you can go to heaven. But you'll be a carnal Christian. Paul talks about three men, the natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. You see, carnal Christians cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit because they are walking and believing according to the course of the world, the flesh and the devil. And if you're not listening, listen to me, I love you with all my heart. If you're not listening to God's Word and being obedient to God's Word and acting on God's Word this morning, there's a place in your life that's carnal. And you need to repent of that. You need to confess that. You need to turn from that because you can never be spiritual and you can never be fruit as long as you're giving in to the appetites, the desires, and the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eye and pride of life has overtaken you. 1 John 2:16. Next slide, please, quickly. Takes time to review, but we have to. But here's the seed that's sown in the good ground. Jesus immediately said, some of that seed, go ahead to the next slide. Some of that seed brings forth a hundredfold. Some of it brings forth 60, and some of it brings forth 30. That means sitting here this morning that 25% of you are going to really hear and grasp the truth of this message if you don't make a decision. You see, listen to me. If information would change the world would have been changed thousands of years ago. Information will not change the world. If I stand up here on Sunday morning and fill your heart and fill your life with more and more information to just make you intellectually smarter, I have done you an injustice. If I do not challenge you to hear the Word of God and to respond to the Word of God, and if you do not make a commitment to respond to the Word of God, you will be fruitless. And you will wrestle with all those demons that the devil will send in your way. You see, you have to make a decision, not a commitment. You have to say, Lord, I surrender whatever in my life is allowing me not to be totally and completely filled with the Spirit of God because I want to be a fruit bearer. I want to win souls for Jesus. I want the character of Christ to be lived out in my life. I want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in my life. I want people to know who I stand for and who I represent. I want people to know that I've been in the presence of God, that I've heard from God, that God has given me a word from Him.
You see that seed that's sown in the good ground? He purges it. He allows trials to come and tribulations to come and persecutions to come. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have these things. But he says, have no fear. I have what? Who are we? We are more than conquerors. That means that we have what? Overcome the world in who? Christ. How do you overcome that area in your life? How do you overcome that lust, that temptation, that desire? How do you defeat those areas in your life where Satan has a stronghold and he's robbing you today of being the fruitful, productive child of God? You see, God did not create you to fail. And friend, listen to me. If you are saved and that's all you have is fire insurance. You're going to miss hell and you're going to heaven, yes. But you're going to, and God is just and God is fair, and there's going to be a reward. Every person will receive at least one reward, and that's the crown of life. Because you chose Jesus Christ to be your Lord and to be your Savior. But my friend, there are five crowns that are mentioned in the Scripture that every child of God can receive. And one day, the Scripture says, we're going to lay those crowns at the feet of Jesus. And we're going to cry out to Him and worship, Leon. Worship unlike anything we've ever experienced before. In fact, I don't know if we could experience it in the flesh. And we're going to say, Thou art worthy. Worthy, 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 O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power and majesty, for by you and through you and for you was everything created that was made in heaven and in earth. Colossians 1:15. Some produced 100-fold, 5%. Some produced 60. Some produced 30, 12%. But let's look at the big secret for a minute, and this will be a part of this sermon the last Sunday in this month also. But let me get into it. I've got about 9 minutes left according to my watch, and my watch is 9 minutes slow, so that means I have, not maybe 9 minutes fast, so that means I have 18 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear what? Much fruit. In this are you my disciple. Wait a minute, I thought I was a disciple way back here when I got saved. See, I could have never sat in a stool this morning. You can't illustrate this sermon by sitting in a stool. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. So, He didn't create me and save me to sit and soak and be satisfied. Write those three S's down in your mind. Sit, soak, and be satisfied. He created you to serve. He created you to sacrifice. And He created you to surrender your life to His will. Write those three yeses down. And so there's a journey. Now, some of you, some of Christendom is going to stay right here until the Lord returns, until He calls them home through the doorway of death. They're going to stay right here. They're satisfied. Well, preacher. Well, Pastor Johnny. Well, Brother Johnny, call me whatever you want to. Just call me to eat, okay? And there's some good cooks in this church. Great cooks. Ladies and men, by the way. He called us to begin that journey with Him. It's called kingdom living. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and a few things would be added unto you. some things would be added unto you. I can't hear you, church. Oh. Then this journey is to be a prosperous journey. Abraham, I justified you by faith, but you can just stay here in the Ur of the Chaldees all you want to. Do you think for 1 minute God would have ever given them the promised land? You say, Abraham, everywhere you put your foot, Abraham, let's see, this is north, west, east, south. Abraham, look to the south. Look to the north, look to the east, look to the west. Abraham, your seed will be like the stars of heaven and like the sand of the seashore. Abraham, look! And so Abraham began to look. He began to take God at His word. Abraham didn't even have the Old Testament. Abraham didn't have a completed Bible. He didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the rest. All Abraham had was a promise from God that everywhere he put his foot, I'll give you to your seed. To your seed. Paul clarifies that so beautifully in Galatians chapter 3. Go home and read it. Who's the seed of Abraham? You know why? Because of Jesus Christ. He was a seed out of the loins of Abraham. So every promise that God made to Abraham, He made to old Johnny Muller. And truthfully speaking, I'm not just walking like this for illustration this morning. My feet do hurt. I had one cut on this week. Abraham. So if I'm going to be a disciple, then I must bear much fruit. I can't even claim to be a disciple just because I'm saved. Because you see, a disciple is a learner of Jesus. So what I'm trying to do this morning is pour my life into somebody else. I'm trying to reproduce my life into somebody else. I'm trying to teach somebody what God's taught me. I'm trying to help you reap the benefit of the blessing and the promises in Abraham that God made to Abraham long before the Old Testament was ever compiled and put together. Long before he had the Word. All he had was the Word of God. Church family, you know I've said to you over and over and over, the day and time will come in your life, that's all you'll have is the Word of God to stand on. The power of prayer, the power of His Word, the authority that's in His Word, and the authority that's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there are some essentials. You see, you've got to abide. You can't be running in and out. One time we was down at the farm and my little nephew was running around and around. He just had him a track going round and around in the house. I stopped him in his tracks the next time he came around that round and I said, son, if you run through those doors one more time. But you know there are a lot of Christians like that. They're just running round and round. Round and round. And they're wondering. And they're questioning, and they're asking, how was Abraham justified? By faith. How are you and I justified? By faith. To every one of us is given a measure of faith. What are you going to do? What am I going to do with the measure that I've been given? You see, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. I say only what He tells me to say. I do only what He tells me to do. But see, Satan's taught us to use Jesus as an excuse. Well, he was second person of deity. He was the only begotten Son of God. He was God incarnate in human flesh. All that he did and the way he lived because he was God. No, he lived as a man completely filled and controlled and led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And he quoted Moses on numerous occasions. He quoted the Word. And when the enemy came to him, he quoted the Word to the enemy. And Luke's gospel tells us he only left him for a season. You think you and I are any better than Jesus? Uh-uh. You think he's going to run off at just when you think he's just going to run off one time and stay away when we combat him with the Word and in prayer? No! That's why we have to continually have the Word. That's why we have to continually abide in the Word, live in the Word. And I shared with you 2 weeks ago, what did I tell you? I said the same juice that flows in the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The same juice that flows in the vine, guess what? So the same Holy Spirit of God, third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, same person that came and a voice from heaven was heard saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And in another place it said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. That same Holy Spirit, church, comes to live in us right back there. At the moment that we bow our hearts and our lives and we receive Christ and trust Him as our Lord and our Savior, that same Holy Spirit, and we surrender. The problem today is we've committed part. We've chosen what part we want to commit. We said, Lord, you can have this much, but you can't have any more. Go home and study the definition between the two words of commitment and surrender. When somebody pulls a gun on you and goes to rob you, you say, okay, I'll commit. Is that what you say? Certainly not. You say, I surrender. So let me ask you a question this morning. What type of soil are you? You see, the seed is every word God has spoken. And Jesus Himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that what? Talk to me. Proceeds out of the mouth of who? God. Every word. We don't have the privilege to, I don't believe that. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and correction, for an instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may what? Be what? The old King James says perfect, Mike. That's right. Perfect. Doesn't mean sinless. It means perfected in his walk and in his relationship with his God. You see, Solomon wrote many years ago that in this tongue right here, James calls it an unruly evil. And it is. When it's not empowered by the Word of God and by the Lord Jesus Christ, it is an unruly evil because it'll... Boy, we've got around the house where we correct one another. We said, don't you go there. Don't you talk like that. You know why? I don't want to curse on my grandkids. Hello? I don't want to curse on my children. Hello? Why, you stupid little idiot, why don't you be like your sister? Why don't you be like your brother? And we pronounce cursing all the time, and we call ourselves Christians. And then we wonder. We wonder. We wonder. We wonder. Jacob called his 12 sons together. He laid hands on every one of them. And he blessed them. He blessed them. Mary, do you remember that sermon I preached way back at First Calvary many years ago called Giving the Power of Blessing? I think I'm going to break my cardinal rule and preach it to Dutch Fork. given the power of blessing. The fruit of your lips. Words are powerful. Blessing and cursing cannot come from the same fountain, Jesus said. James said, the tongue is an unruly member. And Satan says to you, well, you don't believe that, do you? No, I don't believe it. Preacher, I just don't believe that. I don't believe a thing you're saying this morning. Guess what? A curse just came over you. Because you know what you did? Listen to me. Don't be offended. Please don't be offended. Hear my heart this morning. I'd rather preach anything. I'd rather preach on the second coming. We could shout and dance and jump a pew. It's hard to shout and dance and jump a pew when you're preaching the truth. Because the truth, but listen, the truth will make you free. And whom the sun sets free will be free indeed. But let me tell you something. Listen to me. When you say, I don't believe that, guess what you've just done? You've called God a liar. Now, many men will stand in the pulpit in America that didn't tell you that. And I'm not boasting and bragging to tell you that. But listen to me. When you say, I don't believe that, you've just said to the Creator, and you're the creature, I'm the creature, and we've just said to the Creator, we're smarter than you. We know more than you. What turnip truck did we fall off of? The fruit of your lips. The fruit of your lips. If you abide in my word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Now, church, that's just as true as this salvation right back here. There's no difference. What God said in His Word, He will perform. He will fulfill. And all He asks us to do is to do like old Abraham. Have you ever noticed in the Bible that everybody God ever used was broken and messed up? Moses murdered, David murdered and committed adultery. Abraham lied not once but twice about Sarah. And even his son Isaac lied about Rebekah. Have you ever noticed that the only people that God ever uses are broken and messed up people? You see, every one of us are broken and messed up this morning. But thank God for His grace and His mercy. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. And He's chosen you. He's chosen you for such a time as this, right here in Dutch Fort Baptist Church. He's chosen you to be a part of what He wants to do in your life so that He might accomplish that which He created you for when He called you forth and gave you life. He's chosen you. So He's saying, come join the journey with Abraham. Start walking with Abraham. Well, we're going to stop right there. And Sunday this month, we'll be part three. And we may be part four, and we may be part five. I want you to bow your heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed.